It's Finally Friday on Rush to Reason with your host, John Rush.
Gee, Ray, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
So I tell him I'm a pro, John. Then who do you think they give me?
The Dalai Lama himself.
So we finish 18, and he's going to stiff me. And I say, hey, Lama, hey, how about a little something, you know, for the effort, you know? And he says, there won't be any money. When you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going.
No, go past this. Pass this part. In fact, never play this again.
I think you got the wrong impression about me. I think in all fairness, I should explain to you exactly what it is that I do.
What I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
When does this happen in the movie?
Now. You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened then?
Past then.
When?
Just now. We're it now. Now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
Stick a fork in me, Jerry. I'm done.
Now, here is your host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes on this Friday edition. And no, we don't have an impossible question right now. Producer Ann and I are working on a way to revive that in a little different way with Darby not being here any longer as our social media director at Crawford here at KLZ. We will do something a little different and figure out what that is. Haven't got there yet.
We can do easy questions. Like
Instead
math.
Of impossible questions?
We can do math. Well, we can't do math because there are those on the left who would object. That's racist.
They don't do math.
No.
Not at all.
I don't know if you've heard some of their latest statements. It's hilarious.
Honestly, I haven't.
I won't go into it. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, so today's show. We've got our new movie review, Together.
Yep.
Which Andy will review, and I actually went and saw, so I will participate as much as I can. Movies about royalty in our second hour.
Right, because we just lost a member of royalty.
Right, so we'll talk about that, and there's some good movies that way. This one I struggled with, so I'll just do a little more searching as we go through the first hour.
Did you wear a crown while you were surfing the net?
I should have, I guess. Maybe that would have helped.
One of those, Burger King
crowns. I needed
crowns.
A Burger King hat. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Roy Groser joined us in the 5 o'clock hour. He wrote a book from a Christian perspective on the trades, basically, how the trades are... You know, something that can be used as a, you know, very much a valuable tool inside of a family, a home, and so on. And he'll bring some different perspective on that. So I'm looking forward to that as well. But without further ado.
Yes.
Do I call him Bruce or Caitlin? I guess his real name now is Caitlin Jenner.
Yeah, I mean, you can change your name. You can change whatever you want about yourself if you wish.
But he's running for governor of California.
Yes.
You know what? Hats off to him.
I'm cool with it.
I'm cool with it as well.
Yeah, I'm
cool with anybody besides Newsom, so I'm good.
By the way, did he ever go all the way and actually, you know, change his body?
I don't know. Did he, Charlie?
Did he get the idea on this?
Did he get the tuck in?
Or is he simply identifying as
Caitlin? Did he get the tuck in maneuver? I don't know.
Jeez.
I don't know.
Why do you? It's Friday. People are trying to relax and you're giving visuals. How can you do a thing like that?
I don't know.
Okay,
back to
Caitlin. We'll call him Caitlin.
Okay.
Her, Caitlin, whatever. I'm all for it, although I believe there's somebody from the Trump administration, wasn't there, who was also going to run?
You know more about that than I do. I've not followed
I'm suddenly
this.
Spacing his name. Who was the gay member? He's terrific, by the way.
The gay? Yeah.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
He was considering Rick Grinnell.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
And Rick Grinnell, by the way, with all due respect to Caitlin, who is very politically active.
He always has been, actually.
Yes, and very Republican.
Yeah.
Just so you know, this is a transgendered Republican.
Yeah, this would not be a transgender liberal governor. It would be the opposite of that.
Yes, this would be a transgendered governor who, on most things, is going to be very conservative. You're going to... I'll just be honest. If you are an illegal immigrant in California... The heat will be turned up on you. If you are in California and you want to run drugs, the heat will be turned up on you. If you want to tax the rich out of the state, the heat will be turned up on you. Caitlin Jenner has a lot of conservative views.
You know the best thing about this, by the way, is not only everything you just said.
Stereotypes? Breaking it?
Well, the fact that, you know, it's the left usually accusing us of targeting those types of individuals, where you, I guarantee you, they will be attacking Bruce Jenner now that he will be a conservative running for the governor of California. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
Yeah, because it puts them in the position, either one, because I believe it's pretty likely going to be one of those two, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe they'll, Rick Grenell, I do believe in a primary would win.
I don't know. He's, you know,
Rick Grenell is sharp.
He is, but Bruce will have that, you know,
star quality.
Yeah, that reality TV, you know, all of that end of things where everybody knows the name.
Yeah, I agree. Name wreck.
Huge. Oh,
but keep in mind, what is the strongest group in the Republican Party right now? By far. Trump supporters.
Yeah.
Overwhelmingly. Even in a place that has very few Republicans like California, Trump supporters run it and they adore Rick Grenell.
But I think... answer this question before I go here.
Okay.
Does California allow the same sort of primary we do in Colorado?
I don't know their primary setup. I really don't.
I thought
California was more of a top two, regardless of party.
No, what I'm saying is, in Colorado, you can
just
be a Democrat and still vote in the Republican primary if you want.
No, you have to be an unaffiliated. But a Democrat can register unaffiliated and then vote.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I expect them to do in 2022 a lot.
I do, too.
But I'm not sure about their primary rules out in California.
I'm not either. I don't follow the state, that side of the fence much.
But it would be very interesting. I'll just say this. I don't know that we've ever had more of a breakout the popcorn
Good
contest
point.
Than you would have between Caitlyn Jenner and Rick Grenell. And Caitlyn Jenner has been more of a sideshow freak. I'm sorry. It's just the way he's been. Okay. But on purpose. It's just been this strange kind of story.
And by the way, it is the same as us.
Right.
They call it NPF voters, NPP,
okay,
non-party preference voters.
So you can register unaffiliated and then vote in the other guys. Okay, got it. Which
by the way, changes things.
Yeah. And the reason I say the kind of sideshow freak kind of thing is not because Caitlyn Jenner doesn't have strong political beliefs. It's that that's virtually none of what we've talked about. People haven't talked about Caitlyn Jenner on the issues. Rick Grenell, you know, on the issues. One by one. And
True.
By the way, if you look at the best defenders of the Trump administration, be it in Congress or in the Trump administration, Rick Grenell would have been in the top three or four easy.
Agree.
Very eloquent, very powerful. So those two going head to head. Hey, either way, you're going to have somebody who's going to put the Democrats in a very awkward position in the campaign.
And likely to unseat Newsom.
It's actually possible,
yes,
John, because people are sick of it.
They're so tired of being locked down, Andy.
They can't take it anymore.
They are just fed up. And I can't blame them.
So you put out a couple of Republicans who completely break the mold of what a Republican is. You can't call us the, you know, anti-gay,
no,
you know.
Anti-transgender.
Yeah, anti-transgendered hate group anymore. We're just here proposing policies that we think will make your life better. That's it.
Right. Especially economically in California, which they need dramatically.
Right. Well, the other guy has economically driven you into the sewer.
Right.
Which, by the way, one last thing before we go to break. It wasn't that long ago when California was the place everybody wanted to move to, John. Everybody wanted to go to California. It was beautiful. It was a paradise. It was almost Hawaii here on the coast. And now it is a hellhole.
Mm-hmm.
And people flee California like crazy. Yeah, there's a chance.
Saw some things this past week. I didn't cover it much. But they've got one event center there where they've been housing homeless people because of COVID and the things along those lines, trying to get them off the streets and, you know, help with the spread and so on and so forth.
Right.
Well, they're now kicking them all back out into the streets so they can now house illegal aliens.
Oh, that's good.
So that's also happening as we speak.
So kicking Americans who are struggling out into the streets.
Correct. So we can bring in illegals.
All Rick or Caitlin has to do is come up with a couple stories of those who were, say, veterans.
Yep.
Or were, you know, women of color or something like that, you know, because
single moms, you name it.
Yeah. And I love all people equally. I'm just saying in California, everybody
that
looks at everybody
loudly.
By demographics.
Yeah, that's right. Even though they shouldn't, they do.
Right. And so they can parade that out and basically say, this is the person you drove out so you could bring in somebody who came here illegally.
You know, on top of that, Andy, go grab some of those liberal restaurant owners who have already been very vocal about what Newsom did to them and grab them as well.
That's a good point. And by the way, I think one last thing. I'll give you a question. You can answer it now or after the break.
Okay.
could that liberal restaurant owners, could they be a factor both in that election and here in Colorado?
I'll answer now, yes. Yes, very much so, because they're sick and tired as well.
And these are people who generally not only support the Democrats strongly, but give. They pour money into, well, now they've had their money wrecked by Democrat governors.
That's exactly right. All right, we'll come right back. Extreme Auto Repair is up, and they want to help you with all of your vehicle needs. And right now, something I talk about on a regular basis. Why? Because I follow this closely. You're seeing a real shortage when it comes to great used cars. Prices are at an all-time high. New cars, there's less incentives, and those prices are going up because of supply and demand as well. Point being, keep your vehicle running as long as you can. You'll save the most money in doing so, and Extreme Auto Repair can do that for you. Don't forget, they've got a full tow company as well. So anything you need, they're there for you. Find them at klzradio.com. The phone number, 303-841-1071.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Learn how to create a tax-free income in retirement so you can make your money last. Register now for a free Social Security and Retirement Income Workshop with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Wednesday, April 28th at Ruth Chris Steakhouse on Bellevue. Dinner included. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money to reserve your seat.
Get a job. Avoid public transit. Listen to the radio. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in with John Rush and Charlie Grimes. Okay, John, let me ask you something. Can a platonic love story be endearing or just boring?
Depends on your thoughts on how this goes, I guess.
Exactly. It all depends on the writing in Together, Together.
Sorry, I am a little nervous. I've thought a lot more about being a dad than I've thought about making conversation with the person carrying my baby.
Right. Well, I'm nervous too.
To my sperm, to the donor's egg, and to your uterus. Cheers.
Cheers.
Mom, Dad, have some exciting news. I'm pregnant. I mean, the surrogate is pregnant.
I'm not going to tell anybody.
I'm mad.
I just don't have anyone that I really need to share the news with.
Does that bother you, Matt?
Hey, sorry.
Hey, man. Bryce.
So did you guys just do it, or?
Matt.
Who is this guy?
You can't do that.
Says who?
Are you like her uncle or something?
No, I'm not her uncle. I'm the father.
Oh, my God, you're her father?
No, I'm not her dad. What do you think?
It is more than fine to have sex when you're pregnant.
But, like, my baby is in there.
Why are you doing this alone?
Because I am alone. I'm in this chapter of my life that feels like it should be over, but it's not. It's just on a loop. It's weird to be perceived as hopeless in this moment when I'm actually incredibly hopeful. Why are you alone?
I don't think being alone is a bad thing.
So are you gonna have the baby shower?
I just wanna say thank you for doing this with me, and I also apologize for everyone I know.
Is that what this is like donating an organ?
I don't know. I've never donated an organ before.
John,
I'd like to start class with a
question. What comes before midlife crisis?
Kids.
I think this movie kind of said it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like you haven't reached that midlife crisis point. You're just kind of heading into it where you're like, what am I actually doing with all the success that I've accrued in my younger years? I've kind of climbed to the top of a mountain. What do I do now?
Right.
Who am I? What am I? What am I passing on? And that is what Ed Helms was struggling with in this movie. He stars as Matt, a 45-year-old guy who writes apps and has no plans to marry. He's happy alone, but now he wants a baby. He really wants to share his life that way. Well, Patty Harrison, a young actress who, by the way, I'm just going to say right now, I like her. I think she's very talented.
Agree.
She plays Anna, the 26-year-old Matt hires as his surrogate. Anna needs the money to go to college. That's pretty cool, right? She wants to make something of herself. Well, Matt and Anna are from different age groups, and it shows. There's no romance here. Just two completely different people who don't even know how to talk to each other. And boy, does that come out right away. It's pretty obvious. Worse yet, Matt wants everything just right, so he pushes into Anna's life. And you can kind of see that with somebody who develops apps, right? He's in control of the whole process, front to back, making it work. He wants to do the same thing with pregnancy. Probably not a great idea. So he's pushing into her life again and again. She has to draw some boundaries. He even gets upset when Anna has sex with a guy. Not jealous, just worried about how that could affect his
child.
Worried
about his baby.
Yeah, worried about the baby. Well, but before long, as the baby starts to grow, it becomes obvious these two do have something very much in common. Neither has any friends.
Right.
They don't have friends. Their families are pretty much nightmares, and Anna realizes she has no one to go through this pregnancy with. She would be alone going through this, except, you know, with the counselors and so forth. Right. But that would be all she would have except Matt. This overbearing, let's face it, micromanaging good guy who just is very, very wants to get everything right with his kid. Worse yet, his awkwardness is growing on her. But a surrogate and the parent aren't really supposed to interact, by the way, John. They're not.
No, normally that's not the case.
No, right. That way the separation of birth goes easier.
Right.
They just have no one else. These two just have no one else to be with. So can these two odd friends keep their distance, or will they have a harder time losing each other after the birth? This film isn't just about pregnancy, and it really isn't about pregnancy. It's about friendship coming from the last places we'd expect.
It's actually about friendship and screwed up families.
It really is. Friendship and screwed up families.
That's what it's about.
Yes. Okay, what works in this movie? Well, first, I'm just going to say it. This movie has two halves. Two halves all the way. The first is painfully slow, overselling the awkwardness. It does. And I understand you can say, well, it's setting it up. It's setting it up. And, you know, the chemistry. No, it's slow. It's poorly written. The second half is charming, endearing, compelling. In fact, I give the second half 4 stars, at least. I thought the second half really roared. Ed Helms is ideal for this role. It's his usual character, awkward, kind, lost. That's who he is. So Ed Helms is kind of playing Ed Helms. Patty Harrison is almost a revelation. She's incredibly real as Anna. Anna is withdrawn, remorseful about her past, and talks like a normal young woman hoping for better things. She's not this super impressive person, but she is impressive. I think we're going to see more of Harrison going forward in other movies. Finally, watching two people overcome the age difference to click was very enjoyable for me. It really was. And if I let me get personal for a second. As you know, my wife and I, we have a big age difference. And because of the age difference, we had said we weren't not going to date. So we weren't going to date. And so Corey and I instead unexpectedly became best friends. And we got to where we just wanted to be around each other and talk to each other, emails, phone, whatever. We just didn't want to be around anyone else because we clicked far better than we thought we would. And now it's over 17 years of marriage later. That's just, it's weird how it happens, but age isn't as much of a barrier as people think.
And he said that in the movie.
Yes.
Actually.
He did. Well, what doesn't work? Okay, the first half is poorly written and directed. It is. The humor is weak. The timing is off.
That could have made it a little crisper. I'll agree with that.
Oh, much. All the effort setting up awkwardness has you checking the time in your phone. It's just flat out boring for the first. Maybe it's only the first third, but certainly, but I think third half, whatever. It's really slow going in early on. Gay comic side characters are almost always funny. Mm-hmm. They're almost always showstoppers. Not this one. This one was awful.
He was awkward.
And it's not the actor's fault. I think
They wrote it wrong.
They wrote it very poorly.
I agree.
More gross than funny. Just a cosmic bore. I mean, when you think about, isn't it romantic?
He detracted from the movie, not added. There was only like one scene where he actually added something to the movie.
Right. And John, couldn't you see the actor was doing his best with these lines?
He was
trying to make this work, but
he was
yikes.
Awful. I agree with that.
Guys, I know it's because you're just trying to write your agenda into the movie.
Right.
If you're going to do that, do it well. Right.
Yeah, thank you.
Awful.
Do it correctly.
Yeah. I almost left twice early on in this movie. Thankfully, I stayed long enough for Matt and Anna to bond. And once they did, whew, it took off. Mm-hmm. It was fun to watch. The very end was noncommittal and a real letdown.
Yes. It's awful.
Just awful.
Hated the ending.
It showed Anna's pain, which was wonderful, but with no resolution.
Almost made a setup where you almost were expecting another movie.
Which won't happen.
Right.
Right. And this is common, by the way, John, for artsy films. But all you care about is what they leave out in this film. All you care about, all you're waiting to see and know is what they leave out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
I agree.
Okay. You're a salesman. Mm-hmm. The last thing you want is a sales pitch where all you leave out is the only thing they want to know about the car,
right,
or about the whatever.
Right.
Not a good idea. Finally, the liberalism is forced. I can handle liberalism in movies, okay? But it's totally unnecessary to the plot. It was just poked in a few times. I'm not saying the movie was liberal all the way. It wasn't.
No, because it wasn't.
But it was just in a few instances.
Where it did need to be there.
Each time, totally superfluous.
Right.
No value added, okay? But it was artsy, so of course, Rotten Tomatoes gave it a sterling 93%. Quality, I'm going to give it 2.5 stars. And
yeah,
not bad.
I knew that was what you were going to do.
Yeah, well, because I felt, and my reasoning is very simple. The writing was not strong. This did not have nearly as much good humor as an Ed Helms movie should have, especially with a talented young person like Patty Harrison in it. You need better writing. Take a little more time. Get some more zingers in this thing. Make it rock.
I wouldn't argue that.
I felt that the first half of the movie was a 1 star. The second half was at least 4. Now, the one thing is, I think people, another reason they give it a high score is I think a lot of people think of the last part of a movie, that's the memory they have. And so they have a better memory of the movie than how bored they were for the first 45 minutes. I understand that, but I'm reviewing the whole movie.
Sure, get it.
And once again, the waste of possibly a very valuable gay comedic side character, what a waste. I've not seen a gay comedic side character wasted like this almost ever. I mean, it was just, wow.
Agree.
Awful.
Agree.
Okay, so quality 2.5, political 1.5. Not 0. It wasn't a drumbeat, but geez, when they put it in, it was so unnecessary and stupid. Moral religious, 2 stars. A little gross, but, you know, it didn't bang me over the head with bad morality or anything like that. In fact, there were some nice moral messages.
So you're saying what for moral?
2.
2.
Yeah.
Okay, you want my review?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm giving it 3.5.
Okay.
I liked it better than you did.
That's fine.
Political, I'm with you.
By the way, John, you like almost all movies better than I do. This is a thing. I am always more skeptical.
Yeah,
you're
more
always
critic.
More optimistic.
On the moral religious, I'm going to give it a 3. And I'll tell you why in a minute, because of some of the things I picked up in the movie that, quite frankly, I might maybe go out here on a limb, and I know there were some crude parts that you just said. But
well,
those,
and also the abortion message. I mean,
right,
you know, pro-choice.
Right, but you can look past that. And I think where I'm going with this is, if you're a parent with young kids, even starting to get into adolescence, go watch the movie. And the reason I say that is because the things that we as parents do and how we treat kids based upon the decisions that they make that may be right or wrong has an effect upon them the rest of their life.
We don't know. You don't know how much you're affecting them.
That's right. And we don't think about that sometimes as parents. And this movie really brings out what those negative effects are when we as parents are knuckleheads.
Right.
Right.
Both of these people are very withdrawn, and it's directly because of the parenting they've received.
That's right.
I will say this, though. Once again, I'm going to get a little critical. They didn't write the parents' roles very well. They
I
were
agree.
Very uninteresting and just annoying. They just weren't well written. I just wasn't impressed by the way they carried out the parents' roles, because you're dead right. The parents were clearly the ones who wrecked these two people.
Mm-hmm.
And these two people...
You saw a little bit of that more in his parents than what they showed in hers, and I don't think they went into enough depth with hers.
I agree. By the way, though, let me say a good thing about this movie. Isn't it often true, and haven't you seen it many times, where parents will ruin two people, but the two people come together and rescue each other?
Right. Right.
And that's what we're seeing here, mm-hmm. is two people who are finding value and finding a connection where they never thought they could.
Well, and even to the point where, you know, in this particular movie, I mean, he really, I'll just say it, you'll see it throughout the movie, he brought her tremendous value and made her self-worth improve greatly, which her parents actually had torn down to nothing.
And vice versa.
Right. Well, true.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. Both of them made the other
feel needed.
Feel incredibly needed. Feel incredibly valued.
Yeah, valued is the word I was looking for. Made each other feel valued.
And especially, by the way, in the second half of the film. This is why I absolutely loved the second half of mm-hmm. the film. Because once they got past all the annoyances and this awful gay character they should have thrown out.
Yeah.
And I'm not like anti-gay character.
No, but he didn't fit.
No.
Put somebody else in there that's actually going to be funny.
Yeah. You know,
and I don't think it was his fault he wasn't funny.
I think the actor was good. How
they wrote it was just, yeah.
Yeah, awful.
Just
you
left
know,
this bad taste in your mouth.
But also, you notice how they were phasing down his role as you got through the movie? He was just kind of popping in a little bit and not doing anything, and that was good. You know, it's like Jar Jar Binks. Less is better.
You got the point with him where you didn't want to see him anymore.
Right.
It's like, why did you have him there in the first place?
Right. But the upside of the movie clearly was I've rarely seen a movie that totally connects with the idea of two people being wrecked by their parents coming together and being just what the other needed.
And by the way, I think I want to add,
and they don't even have much in common.
No, agree. And what I want to make sure we add to this, Andy, when it comes to, you know, what the parents wrecked, let's, at least the way I look at it, parents wrecked their lives over things that were unnecessary. It wasn't like these two were strung out on drugs and they were into gangs and they had all sorts of problems growing up. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about maybe a couple of choices they made that really weren't probably in the best interest of what was going on at the time, but all the parents did was make it worse.
Right.
Am I saying that the right way?
Yes, because the parents are basically saying, it's not so much that you're a bad person, it's that you're not me.
Right.
Okay. So right. You're not making my choice. You're not making my choices. That makes your choices worse than they actually are.
Right.
Okay. And you know,
I don't make it sound like these are parents that were
evil.
No. In fact, I will tell you this
annoying.
Right now. I will tell you this. Cuz this happens a lot even today. Christians, in fact, I'm going to say it this way. Every Christian with young parent, you know, every young parent Christian couple should go watch this movie. Reason being is we as a church collectively are the worst offenders of what happened in this movie. Am I right?
Yes, I would agree.
Big time.
But let me take a pot shot again. How can you have movies like Meet the Parents and all these kinds of things where those parental roles do all the same things? They show how the parents wreck the kid and so forth, but they write it better, John. They have much better, funnier lines, much more interesting moments, mm-hmm. much better speed and deft handling of the scenes. The scenes, the parents in these were almost throwaway. They were just enough
to
show
you need them.
Yeah, I mean, you had to have them because you had to show the damage.
Right.
Right? You had to show that these were two souls that were basically war-torn.
Right.
Coming out of there, what they had done, and then meeting each other. And here's the beauty of it, John. They're 19 years apart in age, and it didn't.
It still could relate.
It didn't.
Because that's universal. Screwing up your kids is universal, folks.
Yep. It
is. Doesn't matter whether you're 80 or you're 18. The feelings those individuals have from parents doing stupid things are the same, right?
Yes. And I think so much, especially in the modern day, where so much of our modern culture caters to the young, it almost forgets that the young and the old relate much more than they think they do. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So once again,
is it worth seeing? Yes.
I'm gonna be honest. I believe most of our listeners will be bored to tears through at least half of this movie.
Well, if you're not that parent that's raising young kids that may not have as much interest in it, true.
But if it isn't a study for you.
But I will tell you that this is one of those movies that, again, especially parents that have young kids, go watch it. You need to. You need to go see it. You really do. It's a reminder, again, of your role in their lives.
And I will just say, be patient.
Yes. Yes. It's not a, I mean, this isn't Star Wars. This isn't the movie you're going to review next week.
There was so much opportunity for better writing.
I agree.
This thing was a monster hit.
It probably could have been the number one movie of the year if they'd have done that, to be honest with you.
I believe it could have been.
And I agree with you on that one. And they missed the boat in a lot of areas. And did you stay for the end where they did the question and answer thing?
No. Didn't care.
I did, only because I wanted to kind of see what, I didn't say for all of it, but I watched enough of it to tell you that the reason for what you're saying is not enough experience, Andy. This is a great example of somebody that probably will get better with time, because I think they had a really great idea and they really kind of set out, you know, on the right foot, but not having enough experience to know the things you're talking about.
You know, the thing that's really missing when you have filmmakers who lack experience is good editing. And in the first half, especially before the chemistry took over.
Yes.
You know, and here's another thing. The chemistry of those two took over so much that editing didn't matter then.
Uh-huh.
But early on, before the chemistry hit, the bad editing, leaving in this line, that line, the gay character and all this.
Agree. I fully agree with you. No, you're 100% correct. Is it worth seeing, in my opinion? Yeah. Now, here I will add.
I believe for some, yes, for some, no.
Well, now I will add this. Is it worth going to the theaters and spending the ticket price? No.
No.
But when this movie is available on Prime or wherever it will end up, is it worth watching then? Absolutely. Even if you spend $5.99 for it, it's worth it.
Yep, I'm going with that. I'm with that.
I don't know that I would necessarily tell you to go spend a movie ticket right now, but it is worth watching for those of you that, you know, here's the other thing.
So we can meet in the middle at 3 stars.
Okay.
I'll meet you.
I'm game with that.
Okay.
And I think that's a fair review. And again, you know, it's not a movie that you will be bored for some of it, but you're not going to be bored all the way through it.
No.
Is it a movie that, you know, will you enjoy it, especially if you're some of the people we're talking about? Yeah, I think you will. I will say this as well, though. If you're somebody that's had some of the pains these characters have had, I don't think I'd go watch it.
It's going to hit a little close to
home. Yes, it will.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of, and this is what I was getting to. We're kind of narrowing down to a pretty tight group of people who would benefit from this movie.
Agree.
For some, it's too painful. For some, it's too boring. For some, it's just,
it's going to be right on the money.
Going to be absolutely perfect.
Exactly.
And the second half of the movie, for me, was perfect.
Perfectly said. We'll leave it at that. We'll come right back, folks. Franktown Firearms is next. And wait times are up right now. I don't know exactly where they're at on a per-day basis. You can call and find out, though. But they've got everything, whether you're looking to buy a gun, whether it's ammo, whether it's the training of, which, by the way, is a big deal. And don't forget the range is there. And they've got memberships for the range as well. And there's a discount for Rush to Reason listeners. Go to klzradio.com, 720-770-7777.
You will remember the people who treated you well during nationwide shortages. Franktown Firearms keeps their prices fair and shelves as full as possible because they value long-term client relationships. The team at Franktown Firearms has clients, not customers. Customers come in numbers with dollar values attached. Clients have names. Clients come back again and again because they feel respected. Because they've developed a reputation for reliability among their suppliers, Franktown Firearms has a more consistent selection of guns and ammo available, which allows them to keep their prices at or below MSRP. They continue to offer reasonable prices because they don't just want you to buy a gun. They want you to come back for training, sign up for a membership, practice on the range, and develop confidence with your firearm. Franktown Firearms, where students become friends. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown for specific pricing on guns and ammo.
All right, Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, he'd love to help you with your planning of the future. And that's a big deal right now, folks, as we move down the corridor towards the future, not knowing what inflation is going to do and so on. Right now, if you just register to talk to Al, give him a call, make an appointment, $50 per person. For singles, it's 50. For a couple, it's 100. So $50 per person to Fleming's Restaurant if you make an appointment with him by May 15th. It's that easy. 303-744-1128 or go to klzradio.com.
You can breathe easy knowing you'll have enough money to live comfortably in retirement. Now you have the luxury of deciding how you'll spend that money to make it work even harder for you. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial will help you create a plan to minimize taxes and fees so your savings last. Before you stop contributing to your 401k or IRA and start taking distributions, you'll want to have a plan in place to make certain your money will help you achieve your goals. If you should need long-term care at some point, you'll want to make sure your kids get a break. Al Smith will show you how to set up supplemental coverage so your kids have some help, and it's already paid for. It's time to shift your focus from wealth accumulation to wealth preservation with KLZ's Retirement Planning Specialist. Set up a free consultation with Al Smith now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
These are the times that try men's souls, Thomas Paine famously wrote in 1776. Current times are also very trying to men's souls. Kim Munson here. Monday, founder and CEO of First American State Bank, Jay Davidson, explains about the current political and economic climate. Jay's perspective brings clarity and truth to the issues and will help you understand current happenings and why Americans are waking up to the dangerous threat of the radical, active regressives pushing a Marxist agenda. That's 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again, 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Tired of the corporate rat race? Time to retire? Call Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors to buy or sell your business. Find Chris Cantwell at kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. All right, Oklahoma.
Well, wait. Yeah, first.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you feel less manly that you and I enjoyed a good cry for the entire break? Just sobbing and sobbing over what we learned from the movie.
Yeah, we're holding each other. Yeah. Kumbaya.
No. Folks, John and I will never hold each other.
No, we're not
other.
Doing
okay.
That.
Okay. Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me look this one up.
They have a new law.
And it is that they are providing immunity from hitting rioters in streets under new law.
The drivers who unintentionally injure or kill demonstrators from any liability.
Right. And that's if you're trying to get away. I mean, they're not saying it's open season targeting.
No. What they're saying is if you're trying to get out of that what you feel is a dangerous situation, which, by the way, they are.
Yes.
And you unintentionally hit someone, you're absolved for liability.
John, I support this 100%.
Me too.
And for two reasons, one personal, one not. The one that's not is we have seen people be dragged out of cars if they couldn't get through.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You know, we've obviously seen a lot of people whose cars got damaged because they got beat on and all this kind of stuff. But I'm talking, we've literally seen people dragged out of the cars because they were white.
Right.
And while I don't care about race at all, the fact is I am perceived as white. Therefore, I'd be in danger. By the way, in a personal reason, we had about three years ago on the 4th of July in our old neighborhood, we were driving through the street on the 4th of July, and there was a mob that was celebrating, quote unquote celebrating, but they weren't. These were the most unpatriotic people you've ever seen. And we were trying to get through just to get home, and we were going literally 1 mile an hour, just saying, hey, can we get through? And they weren't going to let us through, John. They literally were not going to, and they were glaring at us, and I'm just going to say they were of different ethnicity.
Okay.
And glaring at us like we were bad somehow for wanting to get home. And they were glaring at us because they felt that we were bad for wanting to get through on a street that they were blocking and we needed to get through to get home.
See, that's my issue, is the blockage.
And they were drugged
the
up, of course.
Of course.
You know, yeah. So it was a very tense situation. I look at that now. Obviously, I didn't hit anybody, and I found a way through, but it was rough.
I agree. This law also simultaneously adds subjecting protesters who block roadways, like you just said,
yep,
to jail time and hefty fines, which, by the way, I am for. Now, we together, Andy and I both, will tell you that we are all for the right to assemble, the right to protest, the right to do whatever you want to do when it comes to those things.
100%.
I am all for that.
Yep. Doesn't matter what your views are. Don't care.
But folks, especially those of you that may think this is an okay thing, not in the middle of I-25 or 225 or any street for that matter.
No. You should never block where other people are trying to drive.
Right.
Period. End of story. Their taxes are paying for that road.
Right.
Okay? They're not paying for you to be in the way.
Go to a park, go wherever you need to, do whatever you need to do. But, and I think, isn't there something that says, Andy, peacefully assemble?
Yes.
That's not peacefully assembling when you're blocking the roadway, by the way.
No, and John, let me ask you something. When's the last time you saw a right-wing or NRA or Trumpster event where people were banging on cars?
None.
Stopping roadways, not letting people through?
Zero.
causing damage to cars or doing any of this.
Zero.
Zero.
Doesn't happen.
This is all one side, okay? So this law is all geared to restrain one side from criminal acts. That's all it is.
And by the way, good for them.
Yep. Amen.
Good for them. So, all right, we'll take a quick break. I know we got behind there a little bit long on the review. That's okay. We enjoyed it and hope you did as well. Michael Bailey, Law, Mobile Estate Planning is next. Make sure that your estate is in order. It's really important, folks. I can tell you firsthand how really important that is. Get with Michael today if you don't have that done, or if you even need to review yours, whether he did it or not, he can still review it. 720-394-6887 or klzradio.com.
KLZ's mobile estate planner doesn't exclusively talk about death and dying. He also wants to help you plan for the rest of your life. Your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law protects you and your loved ones during your lifetime by establishing a medical power of attorney and a financial power of attorney now, while you still have all of your mental and physical capacities. That way, you and your family never need to go through the painful experience of trying to make those decisions during a crisis. Set up a free consultation with Michael Bailey now at klzradio.com/estate.
All right, a good shop is next, and if you've been involved in an accident of any kind, or maybe even a bunch of door dings from, you know, parking in parking lots, things like that, they can help with any of that. If you just want to freshen the car up, they're there for you as well. But a full bore repair because of a collision, they can help you with that and have a mobile app to help you there as well. Find them at klzradio.com. Three locations, 720-541-7697.
You've already been through a collision. Now give yourself the gift of a gorgeous vehicle inside and out. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop Auto Body continue to earn OE certifications for name brands like Subaru, Ford, and many others, so they can get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition with the parts and service recommended by your manufacturer. Now A Good Shop offers full detailing as an add-on service so your vehicle feels like new. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and ask for a full detailing service, including carpet shampooing for the entire interior or trunk, or upgrade to include a ceramic coating that will keep your paint in shiny new condition. Al and his team want to give every customer the wow factor of a vehicle that feels like new. Mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Managers control their employees. Leaders empower them. John Rush will teach you how to run your business as a leader, not manager, so you have the freedom to do what you love. You went into business for yourself because you wanted freedom. But right now, your business couldn't last one day without your involvement. Learn how to stop micromanaging and give your employees more responsibility so you can step back and enjoy yourself. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
God. Country. Reason. Now back to John Rush.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes. So Charlie just told us a story during the break.
Yes.
It's applicable to the movie where, when Charlie was young, even probably too young to realize even what was going on in his household, his folks took a girl in from their church that was in the same situation, you know, pregnant, out of wedlock and so on, but took that girl in, even though they were friends with the parents, went to the same church, took that girl in.
And why did they have to?
Why did they have to? Because the other parents kicked her out.
Exactly.
And Charlie's parents took her in and you know, took care of her during that time. Hats off to them, by the way. That's good.
And I believe, John, that Christian parents, and I hate to judge Christian parents because I've never been a parent. Okay, I've never had kids.
I have.
But I'm going to be, yeah, you've had a lot. that's why, you know, between us, we've had just about the average number.
There
of
you
kids,
go. That's true.
Which
yeah,
is
good
great.
Point. Good point.
But being a Christian parent and having known a lot of Christian parents, tell me if this is true. I believe the biggest mistake a lot of Christian parents make is that they forget love God and love others. Okay, ahead of yourself. And what I mean is this. When you look at your child, do you discipline them or parent them to the best you can because of what's best for them or because of what embarrasses you?
Yeah.
What is your biggest concern? How you are looked at by the rest of the church or how their life goes, regardless of the church? And I believe that that's the question they don't ask. And when you don't ask that, you're not loving somebody.
And you typically are doing the prior. You're doing it because of you, not because of them.
Right.
Now, all that said, Do I believe in discipline? Do I believe in consequences?
Totally.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Every one of my kids will vouch for that. Absolutely. Would I have ever turned one of my kids away and stuck them out on the street because they got pregnant before they were married? No.
No. But I mean, when you discipline a child, do you do it for their benefit or do you do it for your anger?
You better be doing it for theirs.
Because they have insulted you by, once again, disobeying this rule or that rule. They have not lived up to your expectations. They have not lived up to your faith. You get the message, right? Mm-hmm. Why are you disciplining them? Is it for them or is it for you? Why are you throwing them out of the house or how are you dealing with this unwanted pregnancy? Are you doing it in a way that is best for them or to keep you from being scrutinized by your church? It all comes back to selfishness.
Great question.
And by the way, once again, I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm judging Christian parents. I'm not. I'm as selfish as they are. Okay, I go through all the same problems as they do. I just never had kids. Right. So I've never been in that position. Mm-hmm. But would I have blown that at times? Oh, heck, I'm sure I would have.
Oh, I think every parent would say that.
Yeah.
I mean, I will. I have.
But it's still a good rule of thumb, don't you think?
Oh, yes.
Is it for them or is it for me?
Very much. So thanks, Charlie, for sharing that. I appreciate that. And that's the way it should work.
Let me ask you this, though. Don't you think that on average, Christian parents do a hell of a job?
Yes.
I got to be honest.
Raising kids is not easy.
I grew up an atheist, you know, and all these people think, oh, man, you had it going. You didn't have to deal with all that judgmental atmosphere. No, it was twice as much. And not because my parents were so bad. They're wonderful parents. It's just that the atheist culture is just as judgmental or more. And this idea that one kind of culture is more than the other. But what I saw in the Christians that I met, I personally felt that they had been parented very well.
I think you could generally say that's true.
Generally, yeah.
Generally, although, you know, there are those that falter. Let's face it, it happens. I get it. And I will also say this, I said it a moment ago, I'll make sure I reiterate this. Raising kids is not for the faint of heart. It's a job. It's tough. It's hard. There's a lot of things that happen there. There's a lot of decisions that get made. There's a lot of mistakes that get made. I get it.
Okay.
I understand.
Got a question for you. What would have been the hardest thing of having John Rush as your dad? Sympathize with your kids for a moment.
I had high expectations. Very high. My kids didn't get by with anything at all. Nothing slipped by. I mean, I was one of those parents where, you know, I didn't have eyes in the back of my head, but my kids probably thought I did because I had enough people, connections, things going on long before GPS existed. I knew exactly where they were, what they were doing, and what was happening.
Did you use drones, John?
I did not because they didn't exist then.
But you would have.
I still had my ways. I was,
I can just picture you. You'd be like the evil crime lord who's got, you know, 30 TVs in this room and is tracking where all the kids are going.
Yeah, I mean, I always told my kids I loved every one of them, you know, each and every one. I did. I loved them dearly, and I told them straight up, the good Lord put me here to be your parent. I'm not your friend. At the end of the day, you may not love me, you may hate me, but you will respect me.
That gets to another thing where your parenting was excellent, by the way, in selfishness. I mean, you were being unselfish because so many parents try to parent the child in a way that the kid, it's more important to them that the kid love them than that the kid live well.
That's right.
Okay. I want my kid to provide me value. Look, if you want that helpless infant who will one day be a teenager to provide you your value, then I think you're in this for the wrong reasons.
And yeah,
matters is how their life goes.
What you just said, by the way, is why everybody wins and everybody gets a trophy. You just hit the nail on the head. That's why that exists today, because of what you just said.
Really?
Yes. Think about it. Every parent wants their kid to be the best. Where do you think this everybody gets a trophy thing came from? Didn't come from the kids. The kids want to compete. If you go to
It was general Marxism.
Well, part of that, but I think some of that's just parents wanting to be a friend and then live their life through their kid. And what they didn't get to do, they want their kid to.
And also, the parent feels if their kid, let's say you don't have that, you have first, second, third place, and winners and losers. If their kid isn't a winner, the parent feels like they failed. Mm-hmm. They lost in that race.
That's right.
They lost in that competition. They didn't get that role in the school play.
So combine that with the Marxism side of the fence, and there's your answer. There's where we're at today.
America's a mess.
Novus Auto Glass is up next. Speaking of what's not a mess, they can take care of you, your vehicle, anything you've got going on when it comes to the windshield or headlights or rearview mirrors, side glass, back glass, you name it. They've got you covered, and we've got locations all around our listening audience. You can find one near you. Go to rushtoreason.com. Go to the website. Click the Novus link. You'll find it right there. It's just in the upper end of the toolbar. You'll find it. Click it. You'll get a location. And then on top of that, don't forget they work with all insurance companies, and you pay the deductible to them, they'll do the rest. It's that simple. Again, rushtoreason.com, click on the Novus link, and that's N-O-V-U-S.
As the inventor of windshield repair, Novus Auto Glass saves you money by repairing chips and cracks whenever possible. With their patented glass repair technology, Novus can tackle tougher cracks than the competition. In some cases, they can repair cracks up to a foot long. But you have a much better chance at a repair by acting fast. Something as simple as going through a car wash could make your little chip or crack irreparable. For KLZ listeners only, Novus will send you a packet of protective windshield stickers for free. Little pieces of specially designed tape to cover any chips or cracks as soon as they appear, like a bandage for your glass. Request your free windshield patches now at klzradio.com/glass. No matter what sort of damage you're dealing with, there's never any risk with a Novus repair. Should your windshield repair fail, they will credit the cost toward a replacement. KLZradio.com/glass.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, myself, Andy, Charlie. All right, real quick also, this next Thursday.
Yes.
We do an annual draft day. And that is this Thursday.
The annual NFL mock draft
you,
for KLZ.
Richard Walt.
Yep.
And folks, I know some of you don't like football and you're mad and so on, but I will tell you this. Still listen, tune in, because what you will find is these guys are more right, and I mean this sincerely because it's true, they're more right than the majority of pundits in TV, radio, newspaper, whatever it happens to be. These three are more right than most everybody else out there. I'm not exaggerating,
honestly,
it's the truth.
Honestly, it's true. We're all draftniks, and when we combine them and put them together, our drafts the last 3 years,
you guys are solid,
have been so close. We, in other words, we would either see where a player was going, mm-hmm. or that player would go within a couple picks, either way, of where we put them, much more than a lot of mock drafts.
And all you sports buffs, you get a chance to call in and give your opinion as well that day. So, again, that'll be this Thursday. You'll know when it's coming. We'll announce it and have it all ready, but it'll be a fun day, so enjoy. All right, let's do this. If you're getting close to the 7 o'clock hour, you're listening to our replay, thank you very much. We do appreciate it. Don't forget Fix It Radio first thing in the morning, followed up by Drive Radio. We'll be back for that. Otherwise, hour two is next. Movies about royalty.
Royalty.
Royalty movies.
Movies
we'll be right back.
About royalty.
Myself, Andy, and Charlie, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.